action. Oh, Pali or Sanskrit literally means action. Of course, when the Buddha talked about karma, the Buddha talked about karma in terms of a ripening in our mind, the subtle imprints in our mind from habits of the past that we create in our mind. So the Buddha said, if you want to know how you practice in previous lives, look at your actions now. If you want to know how you will practice, you know, karma will ripen in future lives, look at your mind. So, of course, as we know, all of the Buddha's, everything that the Buddha taught, isn't it, comes down to the mind, that the unique qualities of the Buddha, of the Buddha's teachings, the Buddha Dharma, that the Buddha being the ultimate psychologist, saying before psychology was invented, right, or even the word, to be able to say, we are our own scientists of the mind. The Buddha was the infinite scientist of the mind, to be able to help us understand all the hidden and obvious good qualities and also the disturbing qualities of mind, and how to work with those, that they're not permanent. So even though when we often talk about karma, particularly everyday language, we always think on the negative side, but that's why I started with the positive side, because we forget that, or sometimes myself forget that all of our positive conditions coming together is also a result of our karma. And that's got us to where we are today. So as the Buddha said, you know, in the Dhammapada, it said, you know, to all the Buddha's teachings coming down to control your mind and refrain from non-virtue. In other words, practice virtue, body, speech, and mind. So we have to know what that is. And refrain from the non-virtue, which we can purify. It's like, we would say that the mind is like water, H2O, two bits of hydrogen, one bit of water. And then the negative states of mind, or the negative karmic imprints on our mind, are like pollution in the mind. So we can cleanse it, we can filter it, we can be rid of that. So this is the actions of purifying the negative karma. So we say, okay, well, the Buddha said, you know, only a Buddha knows karma. So in some ways, we have to accept on faith, but in some ways it's obvious, really obvious to us. There's a real certainty, a definiteness about karma, that you do something positive, you say something positive, you think something positive, guess what? Your mind gets happier. You have a positive result. Even moment to moment, we can see that. And that the opposite is true too, that anything that is negative, any harm we do with our body, with our speech and our mind, only brings a suffering result for ourselves. And particularly if we don't keep it in check, then of course for others. And we see this playing out in the world all the time, isn't it? Day by day, moment by moment, or everything happening in the world is a ripening of karma of this world. So for example, you know, having this year, all of us, who would have thought we would all be in this pandemic? We didn't think that when we made a New Year's resolution, but this is like a collective karma of us, of the world, understanding that, who knows what that collective karma is, but something has ripened for us to experience as human beings in this world. So the humans of this world have this collective karma. And how much we experience either the disease or the fear or the lockdown or the grief or the loss of loved ones, all of this, the Buddha would say, is individual. So there's a particular individual ripening of karma from actions we've done in the past. But sometimes, because the Buddha said, only a Buddha knows that. So at the time of the Buddha, for example, Ananda, Buddha's attendant, who an old man came up to him and wanted to be requested ordination. And Ananda looked at him and couldn't see any good qualities and sent him away. And he didn't give up. So it's a wonderful aspiration to ordain. He didn't give up. And he went to Shakyamuni Buddha directly, requested ordination. Because the Buddha could see this old man's past lives, he could see that this request was a ripening of a virtuous karma way back in a previous life, where he had been a fly on a cow dung on a cart that went around a stupa, so went around a holy object. So in that life, he was a fly, wouldn't have known what a stupa was, but the imprint that put in his mind meant that that positive imprint, in the meantime, of course, because karma also magnifies, increases and increases. So it's sort of like latent on his mind, but increasing until, well, he had the karma to meet Shakyamuni Buddha, right, in that very life, and to request ordination directly. I mean, that's pretty much as good as it gets, right? And so the Buddha ordained him. And that's when the Buddha said to Ananda, only a Buddha knows karma. So back off. But of course, we get it at many levels. We do get it at many levels. But it's not to, what we have to look at is our own minds and the tendencies of our own minds. Because we're talking about imprints. It's like habits that we've built up in our mind. So for myself, you know, when I was born, I had a few siblings already. I ended up being one of six kids. And my brothers are good at computers. I'm not. We're all good at music. And I think we could say that was because we're in a musical family. So we all learnt music. Until I became ordained, and then, you know, no more music playing anymore. But that's okay. So we're all good at music. But one of my brothers reminds me, no, I didn't play the music. I was in the lighting box or the sound box or whatever. So even we're in the same family, we have the same upbringing. We know ourselves who have siblings, who have relatives. All of us have relatives. Everybody's different, even from birth. I remember seeing, just after birth, niece and nephew, twins, very different personalities, right? So the same DNA, the same conditions, they both came out more or less one after the other. Very different lives, very different personalities, because that's their mind and the karmic imprints on their mind. What we're good at is what we have practiced in past lives. So if we're good at anger, it's because we've practiced that. If we're good at playing a musical instrument, you know, you think about Mozart, who from a very early age was a child prodigy. Well, the Buddha would have said, well, you're a child prodigy because in a previous life you were a famous musician or whatever already. We don't see this because we can't see most of this life, let alone past lives. Until we can get our minds can get clearer and clearer, and we start to see some connection. So it is definite. You know, you're not going to get, you cause harm to someone, you're not going to get virtue coming from that. Okay. And also, you know, you practice virtue, you practice non-harm, of course, that's going to be a benefit. You don't have to believe in what the Buddha said or anything. Just observe in the world. So with the karmic imprints increasing, just like this fly that ended up a monk, the result is far greater than the cause. So on the positive side, this is fantastic. Go for it. On the negative side, it means we have to have warning that We don't want to stay, have any negativity staying on our mind, because, as it says, we reap what we sow. What goes around, comes back to bite us. We use all those terms, isn't it? So also, all the experiences that we have are not, you know, I was in a teaching the other day with our abbot here, and someone asked, so is the word luck in Buddhism? No, there's no luck. So there are no mistakes, if you like. Even we don't understand it. It's not just luck. What we call luck is because it's a result of our virtue ripening. But we don't understand it, so we call it luck or fortune. Anyway, don't give up the fortune cookies. I still like those. I still like reading the little things. But whatever experiences we have is a result of our karmic imprints. And we don't experience somebody else's karma. They can't experience our karma. It's not like it transfers from one person to another. It doesn't work that way. And also, whatever imprints on the mind, tendencies on the mind, just they're never lost. They never go away unless, and this is where with the stuff we don't want, the anger, the jealousy, the pride, or the afflicted states of mind, disturbing states of mind, or the destructive emotions, we want to be rid of those. So the Buddha said, you can. The, you know, engaging in practices, engaging in meditation practices, you know, turning your mind to virtue, so many different ways we can eliminate those negativities from our mind before they ripen. Because once they ripen, too late, it's going to happen. It's like this pandemic, too late, it happened. Of course, we can minimize it. That's conditions, secondary conditions. But the initial causes were there. Okay. And so I'm sure everyone's aware, you know, the Buddha taught extensively about the different non-virtues, the things to refrain from, but generally it's lumped together in, you know, a few related to the body, some related to the speech, some related to the mind. So even people don't have any faith whatsoever, we know that killing a human being in this world is not on, right? So we do have that. But in the Buddha said, taking any life, do not take any life, because even the mosquito is a potential Buddha. They have Buddha nature, right? Because they have a mind. And given we can transform our mind. So if I kill a mosquito, why am I doing that? Because I feel that that mosquito hurt me. How dare you keep me awake at night or whatever. One tiny little mosquito. All they want is a little drop of blood. So if I don't purify that karmic action, if I don't cleanse that, if I don't detox that, within 2 weeks, it's equivalent to having killed a human being. So that's how quickly it increases, right? Of course, you hear about the positive and it's just like, way to go, want that to increase. So with all of these actions, killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, so forth, other conditions come along with that. I mean, for the killing one, to be able to kill, what do you need? Well, for all of karma, the Buddha said, you need an intention. So the intention to kill. I might not intend to kill, and I've done this. You know, not intend to kill, and before you know it, squish. I've squished something. Later I find out, and I'm very upset, and I say prayers for it. And I put mantras and blow on it, put it on a stupa or Buddha, take it around, you know, try and do something. You know, say prayers for it to have the best possible rebirth, having extinguished its life. But there was no intention there. So the Buddha would say that isn't the karma of killing. It's negative because I wasn't mindful, right? But it's not the heaviness of the karma of killing. But if I kill a human being, different story. So having the intention, and then there has to be the object, the mosquito, the human, whatever, to kill, because otherwise you can't kill a being if it's not there. That could be handy. So so then there's the action of killing. And for this one, they say that being has to die before you do, because technically you, even they die, but you die first. I was trying to think, when would that happen? You know, in the old days, they had duels and everyone was shooting everyone, right, or whatever. So if they die first, no, if you die first, then in that life, you've already lost your life, they're still alive. It gets a bit technical, doesn't it? Can't imagine that situation relevant now. So, and then not only that, not only you do it, you go, great, one less human being, one less mosquito. So you rejoice or take delight. Job well done. That makes it very heavy. But also, what else makes it heavy? It depends on the importance of that, the object. Let's say the person we killed. Say it was a parent, very heavy. You know, your mother gave you birth. Your mum and dad came together. The result is you were born, right? So very heavy. If it's a, you know, arhat, and who, how do we know who they are? You know, it's not like they wear a label. I'm an arhat. We don't know who they are. So because if they're a Dharma teacher, because, you know, if there are lamas, we would say Dharma teacher, you know, a guru, who were guiding us. So even at the time of the Buddha had people who were against the Buddha. You know, there was one nun who, even she was around the Buddha a lot, but thought the Buddha lied. Now that's heavy negative karma, isn't it? And then also his jealous cousin Devadatta, because the Buddha was getting all the followers and the Devadatta was always attacking the Buddha. So even at the time of the Buddha, you know, this happened. Because we're human beings, it's karma. We have our own mind streams. So whatever events, we can be at the same event, but our experience is particular, is to us, is different, right? So, yeah, so we've got these four elements. But also, so we have the karma from the habituation of our mind. Say in past life I was a lion or a tiger, then I'm going to be habituated to killing because, you know, that's what they do, you know, or even a whale, you know, gazillions of fish for breakfast, so like a killing machine. So we see people in the world who and historically the Hitlers in the past and so forth, killing machines, like, or want to kill animals, want to kill people, and so forth. You know, I work with people in prison. Some of them have killed people, and then they've regretted it, and then they've met the Dharma. Thankfully, you know, they're turning their lives around. So there's hope. Even from killing, there's hope. So we either, they say, from the karma of killing, you could, the experiences, say I killed in a past life, my experience in this life would be to have a short life. So that's experience similar to the cause and the result. Or I keep killing. So that's, I've habituated towards that. So that's another type of karma ripening. Or I live in an environment where people are killed, say in a war zone or whatever. Now, we're not saying people who live in war zones are bad. It's just, this is how that karma has ripened in this life. And once we finish that ripened karma, it's finished, like it's gone. But we prefer it not to get to such an extreme level, don't we? We don't want it to get so far. So the heaviness, as I said, depends on how important that being is in our life, or a human is heavier to kill a human than to kill a mosquito. And, you know, even though I'm happily vegetarian, I have taken vows as a nun that if people offer me food, you accept, right? So I sort of hope if anyone ever offered me meat, so far so good, you know, hasn't happened. I want it to be a little bit of a big animal, not lots of little animals, because that's a lot of lives, right? Even though I didn't kill them, sort of feel uncomfortable about that. So the Buddha actually, interesting enough, didn't say to be vegetarian, but I can't ask someone to kill an animal for me so I can eat. Why? Because that's, I would get the karma of killing plus the karma of asking someone else to kill. So that's heavy. So I get double whammy there. So I always worry about it with, you know, when military people send their young people off to kill other people, and just like, that's heavy negative karma. So you can see how the world is in the state it is. So, you know, we need to understand that the whole karma display is very, very complex, intricate. And we don't understand it at the very subtle levels. How would we know in what life what's going to ripen as well? So then also we have what, you know, the throwing karma that determines your next rebirth. So all of us here have this perfect human rebirth. In other words, the Buddha would say all the conditions coming together, not just being born human, meeting the Dharma, even hearing about a Dharma talk, running to that, although on Zoom you don't have to run anymore, do you? You just clicking towards that. And, you know, wanting to learn more, wanting to work with our minds, transform more, that we have the faculties, we have the capacity to be able to do that. We're not born in an animal body where, I mean, even we have a lot of animals here where I live now up in Queensland. We've got bush turkeys and snakes and all sorts of things. And they get the Dharma all the time. But especially the turkeys, you see, they're only interested in one thing, food. Well, at the moment, the males are interested, they build all the nests and the females are laid the eggs. So they are interested in sex and babies and all of that at the moment. But they're not running to the Dharma. They happen to live here, which would also say that's a result of their past karma, to be living in a Dharma center where they're not going to be killed, even the cockroaches. We won't kill. So, I mean, someone might tread on one day, but we won't kill one. So, you know, they do have some virtue ripening, you could say. But in that animal body, I mean, maybe they'll be like the fly in some future lifetime. They'll be a monastic here because it is very individual. So who knows? A Buddha knows. So all of these different elements that we have in relation to karma, so the type of rebirth we have. So it's said to have the rebirth of this precious human rebirth, perfect human rebirth, the rebirth that we have with all, you know, to be living in a country where people can practice any faith or none. It's quite liberal, quite open, that even when we haven't been able to gather together physically, we've been able to connect with the Dharma. In fact, I don't know about probably everyone else is in the same boat, you know, like all of our teachers are doing so much teaching online, you can't keep up with it. You know, there's so much available. It is fantastic, really, and opening up to more and more of the world. So this is also karma. And for us individually, just all of us here, the Buddha would say, this is a result of you practicing pure ethics in past lives. So practicing the 10 virtues instead of lying, being truthful, instead of killing, even saving lives, instead of stealing, practicing generosity, you know, sort of being very virtuous, practicing patience, instead of sexual misconduct, of actually respect for others, respect for partners, and so forth, we're in a relationship with, or for families, for people we work with, all of that. And, you know, this is also a result of our virtues. You know, instead of having an angry mind, cultivating patience and loving kindness. Really amazing. Instead of ignorant, confused mind, developing more and more wisdom, clarity, you know, through analytical meditation or reflection on the Dharma through Vipassana and so forth. And, you know, and the, developing the clarity of concentration of the mind through Shamatha practice. And even then combining the two, making our minds most powerful, particularly those of you studying, this is the best way. Because it's sharpening and sharpening your intelligence. It's absolutely the best. Making the most of the intelligence we're born with. We're not acting like animals ripping each other apart. We're acting like not just sensible human beings, but very motivated to be of benefit to others, loving, kind, compassionate, wise. Quite phenomenal. So this, on the ground of ethics, and then having made in past lives stainless prayers, you know, may I continue to meet the Dharma in all future lifetimes. For me, I say, may I continue to be ordained in all future lifetimes. Next time, can it happen straight away? You know, cute little baby robes. I don't know. Maybe it won't happen like that, but you can at least pray for it. So, and through the practice of generosity, so the practice of generosity, practice of ethics, practice of these pure, stainless prayers, it said, this is how we come to be together to have this Dharma talk, or to, and to continue to be Dharma friends, right? And to, you know, to want to not just benefit ourselves and our family and our friends, but even those we have difficulty with, even those we don't like. So that is quite amazing karma that we have, you know, having a love of loving attitude, rejoicing when others are happy, not just thinking, how can they make me happy? It's like, how can I make them happy? Bringing people together. So Olivia's done that. Good on you, Olivia. Bringing people together in harmony, in the Dharma, and so forth. Talking in a nice way, being kind, gentle in our speech. Imagine that in the world. We wouldn't have all this blah, 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 blah. Just kind words, gentle words, being really nice to each other. So all of this is a ripening of our past karma, because we practiced that in the past. And so we're continuing to practice and want to continue to practice that in this life. So we have our virtuous karma to, you know, lead from one higher realm rebirth to another, either as a human or in the God realms, actually. And then, you know, they talk about the non-fluctuating karma as a result of concentration, right, to develop more and more subtle levels of existence and of, where we don't have this clunky human body. I don't know anything about that because I ain't there. I've got a clunky human body. I know that because it's getting older and I'm feeling that. Okay. The non-virtues, which means more likely we'll be reborn. You know, the karma of killing if we don't purify and we rejoice and do all of that. Likely to lead to a hellish existence. And I have to say again, from working with people in the prisons, you know, that one guy I visited in Long Bay prison, we didn't ever ask them, you know, with Liberation Prison Project, what did you do wrong? But they, like, you know, they confess, and this is part of our purification, isn't it? Confess, you know, say, well, this is what I did. He killed his girlfriend. They were drunk, they had a fight. You could say he didn't intend to, but he put all the toxic cocktail of negative things into place that was the result. And then he was so distressed that what he did was he took a knife and cut himself from here to here. It just, you know, I could feel his pain. So even in this life, it's like having an immediate karmic result. Sometimes they say karma can ripen immediately. And you could see this in him. Of he was just in so much pain and agony, never forgiving himself. That is a hellish existence in a human body. Just pure hell, right? So it doesn't mean you go to some place called hell that's, you know, the next country down or anything like that. It's actually all of these are states of mind. What states of mind we can have as a result of either our virtue or our non-virtue. So this is where that karmic mix, so the non-virtuous or an animal realm, usually out of confusion, ignorance, which of course the Buddha said we all have, not understanding things as they exist. You know, we think things are permanent and unchanging and then everything changes and then we freak out, or we think we're going to live forever and then the doctor says you're going to die and you get a shock and it's just like, well, of course we're all going to die because we all got born. It's like the relationship breaks up. Well, you can't blame the other person. You got in the relationship. If you didn't get in the relationship, it wouldn't break up. I'm not saying don't have any relationships, but, you know, we can't be blaming others for our actions. And that's what the Buddha said, you know, our karma, it's personal to us. So the other sort of ways that a karma can be more heavy is if we take vows. So you take, you know, the vows to not kill, not steal, not lie. So already in the world, it's accepted, don't do those things. I mean, I'm not saying people refrain from it. I'm saying we know that's immoral in the world. It's against the ethics of society. And people who get caught out, of course, you know, when they're politicians and things like that, it's heavier than they were when they're just not in the limelight, right? So it's the same with karma. So that heaviness, like if, say, let's go back to the killing. Say I hate, that's a strong word, right? I hate someone and I want to kill them. That's a bit different to killing someone, I don't know, without the hate. Or maybe killing someone because you're trying to defend someone else. I'm not sure. Anyway, there can be heaviness depending on the amount of rage or hatred or mind of revenge. And the only way we're going to avoid that, the Buddha said, is we've got to work on our mind for all those afflicted states, all those disturbing states of mind, which we all have, and get them in check so it never gets to that state. Because otherwise it's very, very heavy. Okay, so how strong your intention is. You know, the stronger the intention, the heavier the non-virtue. For non-virtue, the heavier it is. And the action itself, oh, yes, I was coming back to vows. If I've taken a vow, which I have, of not killing, and not only that, ordination vows, and then I go and kill someone, then it's much heavier if I never took the vow at all. But it's also said, because I've taken the vows, even I'm asleep and I don't kill anyone, any being, I accumulate the virtue of that. So the vows also give us power to increase our virtue even we're asleep. Now that's good news, isn't it? I love that. And of course, you know, we, you know, in the day thing, we set an intention and motivation maybe for the day. You know, may what I think, do and say be of benefit to others, or at least, as the Buddha said, not harm. We try our best then, but at least we set that intention, and that also has a lays virtuous imprints on our mind, as do our prayers, as do our practices, our meditations, our listening to Dharma talks, our reflecting on Dharma talks, and so forth. All of that places more and more seeds of virtues on our mind that also, sort of leads to us having more capacity to develop our true Buddha nature. Because why? Because it's more in sync with reality, with how things really are. So the Buddha said we are innately good. As we said, the negative stuff, rubbish of our mind, is rubbish. We can clear it away. It's not the nature of our mind. The nature of our mind is pure, clear, unobstructed space, like that. It's not space, but it's like that, isn't it? So karma doesn't have to be a dirty word, is what I'm trying to say. It doesn't have to be a dirty word. So I'm just wondering if I need to leave some time for some questions, if there are indeed any. I'm not sure because I haven't looked. No. Should I leave some time for questions or what?
It's hard to variable. If you like to keep going, I think we still have the time, so it's fine.
Okay. All right. So if anyone has any questions, they can come up. Yes. So as the Buddha said, don't think even a small harm that you've done in a past life will just go to waste. Or, you know, people think, well, if nobody sees me do it, then it's okay, right? If nobody sees me do it, I can get away with it. And I say, I've visited a lot of people like that in prison. Because even we get away with something in this life, it comes back to us in future lives. And what did we say? That karma increases, it magnifies. It is definite. We will definitely experience the result. So we can think about the tendencies in our own mind, you know, reflect, well, what are the, you know, if I check up my mind, what are the things, okay, I may be not going out thinking, who can I kill today? But thinking about tendencies over there in my mind to anger, to jealousy, to pride, you know, puffing ourselves up, which cuts us off from being of benefit to others. So everything that is negative in our mind that I want to be rid of, because why? It disturbs my mind, and if I don't keep it in check, not only that, it'll have a heavy karmic fallout in relation to others as well. You know, because I now have met the Dharma, have some Dharma wisdom, and have some chance to be able things about working with our mind and finding means, first of all, have to identify, yeah, I stuffed up. So we have to, you know, develop our mindfulness, our awareness, keep our mind in check, but also notice when before, you know, even, okay, if I say anger, so I'm not talking road rage, I'm talking the slightest little irritation arising in my mind, that's when I can do something about it. That's where, you know, through meditation practice or stuff, I can develop that awareness to say, I'm going to nip it in the bud so it doesn't fully ripen as a karmic result, because it's too late then. So I want to get it as early as possible. And this is like cultivating that awareness as soon as something starts to disturb our mind. And this is why meditation is so important, to really find that moment earlier and earlier and earlier and go, aha, that mind is negative. We have to identify what is a negative mind and then say, okay, well, what is, how can I deal with that? So how can I deal with that? Apply an antidote. So for anger, what's an antidote? One could be patience, because anger makes us very impatient. But then if it's too big, I think impatience is not enough. I mean, patience is not enough. Sometimes we are, you know, we've got to cultivate the mind of loving concern, because also what happens if I get angry, at someone or something out there, as if it's got no connection with my mind whatsoever. But that anger's come from my mind. And I might be angry at one thing. You didn't pick up the towels off the bathroom floor, or you didn't take the garbage out, or whatever. And then all of a sudden, I don't like the way you walk, you talk, you everything. Move out. So we exaggerate. And we exaggerate the desire. You know, I love your voice. Oh, you know, I love the way you walk. I love everything about you. Until you leave the towels on the bathroom floor, and then I don't like you anymore. You know, we're a bit crazy, really. So this is what the Buddha said, you know. So we have to watch those states of mind so they don't, you know, if we can get them soon enough, we don't have to deal with having those karmic imprints in our mind, because once we build up a habit, it's so hard to break, isn't it? You know, I don't know if anyone's ever had habits like smoking or anything like that, or, you know, any habit that we have in life that we want to stop. It's really, really hard. And the Buddha would say, that's just this life, let alone that you've been doing it from beginningless lives up till now. No wonder you can't stop it. So we do focus a lot on the negative karma, because that's what we want to eliminate the seeds before they turn into, you know, a flowering plant and a tree and multiply and more seeds come and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So we want to get it almost as soon as it starts to arise in our mind. And we're only going to do that by shining the light of awareness in our mind, which we can do, you know, through vigilance or, you know, introspection, checking up, you know, the quality control of our mind. And through mindfulness, that doesn't forget our purpose, that my purpose is to develop more and more positive states of mind, be my speech to be only beneficial, kind, loving, considerate, gentle, harmonious, bringing people together, not being divisive, not being gossipy, not being meaningless speech, profound, you know, meaningful speech that's going to help others. So the more we do that, the more we develop that habit, the more we can develop those habits as well. The more and more positive habits we develop in our mind, isn't it? Same. So this is what we want to do, you know. So we want to create as much and much merit as we can through practicing more and more an ethical life. Not telling other people what to do. This is for ourselves. The Buddha said being a Buddhist is an inner being. It's for us. And, you know, to live a healthy life, a happy life, you know, sort of to cleanse our inner environment and just watch this space of how we're more in sync with reality. So then more and more things are possible for us in our lives, in the world. Okay. So it's just a couple of minutes left if we want to do anything with those few minutes.
Does anyone have any questions, maybe? No, everyone seems good.
Everyone seems good? Okay. then the thing that we do, as I'm sure you're aware, is maximize our merit, maximize our virtues, make every opportunity, because you can't take for granted the amount of positive energy, even by this simple short time together, of how much positive energy that's created. And that even a moment of anger can destroy that virtue. It can't destroy your wisdom, your intelligence, your analytical ability, but it can destroy the virtue of, you know, of the, just by one moment of, you know, anger or so forth. So collecting all this positive energy that we've created together to only continue to grow in our own minds, to ripen our wisdom mind, our compassion mind, our loving kindness, our patience, our generosity, our joyous effort in the Dharma. May that continue to grow and grow, because that way we're able to do more and more. And as the Buddha said, we're in here for the long haul until we, we're in there for more than this life, because we're also laying down the for future lives to continue on our spiritual path until we accomplish that, until we accomplish liberation, until we accomplish enlightenment and so forth. So we dedicate all the virtues that they continue to grow and grow in my mind, in the minds of other beings, each other here, to benefit the world, which so desperately needs the benefits right now, all the time right now. But I think particularly this year, and I'll just recite the mantra that I know of Shakyamuni Buddha three times. Taya tau mune mune maha. Taya tau mune mune maha mune shoha. Taya tau Om Mune Mune Maha Mune Yesu. So I just wanted to mention one thing. All the monks and nuns of our organization, FMT, the International Mahayana Institute, every Saturday, we do from, this is the beauty of Zoom around the world. We have a 24-hour prayer-a-thon to help the pandemic decline, right? So we're going to continue on until the pandemic goes down. So we've been doing for a few months now. We keep going. And because of Zoom, it means, you know, we start here and then it goes to New Zealand, then it goes to the US or Europe or UK, or all around the world. Comes back to us early morning Sunday. So I'm sure there's many other people doing similar things, you know. It's such opened up such possibilities for us in our Dharma practice. So I wish you all well in your Dharma practice, in your studies and so forth. Stay safe, stay well, because the world needs you.